Hey, this is Matt from Comixology. This week we have Kickstarter legends, Greg Pak and Jonathan Colton, to talk about their book, Code Monkey Save World, a graphic novel based on the songs of Jonathan, written by Greg and drawn by Tak Miyazawa. If you get on their Kickstarter and pledge at least $15, you'll get redemption codes for the book in Comixology once it's completed. You'll also get a digital download of the soundtrack and a brand new song, too. Right now, the book will be 96 pages over 4 different issues through Monkey Brain. Enjoy.
Code Monkey, get up, get coffee. Code Monkey, go to job. Code Monkey, have boring meeting with boring manager Rob. Rob say Code Monkey, very diligent, but his output stink. His code not functional.
Hey guys.
Hi.
You sound dreamy.
Whoa.
I sound dreamy. Well, maybe that's because I'm wearing my robe.
Jonathan, is it wool or is it silken?
It is silken on the inside and woolen on the outside.
Ooh, I have one that's made of velour.
Oh, my goodness.
So the Kickstarter, $150,000 as of today. Congratulations, both of you.
Thank you.
My first question, why was 1st of May left off the list for possible candidates for this graphic novel?
You could take that one, Greg.
Well, you know, it's I'm not ruling it out. You know, we still have stretch goals,
right?
So to speak,
and I do mean stretch.
Phase 2, 1st of May, $1 million. We'll see if we can make it happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, the initial thought for this thing was, hey, let's take these crazy monsters and supervillains in these songs and put them together and see what we get. And 1st of May was not exactly rife with supervillains, mm-hmm. So as far as we know, although a supervillain certainly could participate in the activities described in 1st of May.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to use that as a basis for the character of a supervillain, however.
Yeah.
No, it might be a little too scandalous.
It gets pretty dark pretty quickly.
Yeah. So what's cool about this version, like this Kickstarter campaign, is it started out as 60 pages and was going to be released digitally in 4 parts, but now that it's exceeding pretty much all expectations, it's now jumped to 90 pages. So 90, great.
96,
my gosh.
Whoa, 6 more pages.
It just
even
changed in the time span that it started that sentence with. Now, how does that change for you, Greg, in writing the material and maybe separating that into still 4 parts, or is it now expanded?
No, it's going to stay. It's going to stay 4 parts. 96 pages. A 96-page trade paperback translates for us into 80 pages of actual story. There's also going to be 4 covers and the back cover and some great extra material that we're working on, including a 2-page story by Fred Van Lente and Ryan Dunleavy, who are the geniuses behind Action Philosophers. Well, and they're going to turn their Action Philosopher sort of history funny book eye on one of Jonathan's songs, so that will be an awesome little extra.
Yeah.
But so we've got 80 story pages, which translates which really breaks down perfectly into 4 chapters. You know, a traditional comic book these days averages around 20 or 22 pages, so this actually gets us up to a really nice size. Before it was you know, like, we definitely could have done it at the original 60-page set, but that would have been 12-page chapters. And this just gives us real room to breathe and explore the characters and really build up the whole world that we're in. Because the more we talk about this world, the more, you know, it's the Jokoverse, if you will. Mm-hmm. And there's just really a lot of fun layers and depth to it. And so now we get a chance to, you know, to really let it breathe. I mean, the main thing is that we get to have our nice, great, quiet character moments with these characters, as well as, you know, have our action bits spread out a little bit. And I think Tak Miyazawa, our artist, is just going to go nuts. It's just really, really nice to have this much space now for it.
It's really amazing how much legs the Code Monkey song has, because I think I've seen it as a TV show, as a World of Warcraft machinima, and now coming back into my world as a comic book. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's not bad for a 3.5-minute song.
Yeah.
I agree. You know, it's one of those things. That song, I mean, that was one of the first songs to really break out in a big way from that year when I was doing Thing a Week. And it resonated with nerds and actual computer programmers for sure, but it also, you know, at the time it was out, there were some there was a team of contractors working on my apartment, tearing down some walls and putting up some other walls, and one of them said, "Hey, I Googled you and I found out I found the song Code Monkey and it's great, and I want to tell you that, like, you know, I feel like drywall monkey." You know, and so it does kind of have this universal appeal, because it's about not being appreciated, or feeling unpowerful at work, and I think everybody knows what that's like.
I guess, Jonathan, in that scenario though, that puts you in the position of boring manager Rob.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we've all been in that position too, I think.
Sweet irony. The big part of this, which I found endearing too, was now you guys had chatted over Twitter, and it's a big part of kind of like the story of how this started, but it's a lie. The magic of Twitter is a lie. You guys kind of knew each other before this a little bit.
Yeah. No, we went to college together, and you know, we sort of were not in touch for several years, and then got back in touch recently, and we're hanging out and catching up, and so, you know, there we didn't meet on Twitter. Yeah. It's not that crazy.
This isn't some internet dating game here.
Right, no, right.
We admit that, but the idea genuinely did actually. It was broached for the very first time on Twitter. It wasn't like a setup where it was like, "Hey, Jonathan, let's create a great story for this thing when we finally release it. Let's pretend like we started talking about it on Twitter."
You should have started on OkCupid. That's what you should have really started.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Yeah, right.
We are nearly like chat roulette. It would have been. It was one of those things. I mean, Twitter really, I mean, as Jonathan likes to say, it's really nice living in here in the future. Because it really was just this off the cuff idea I had, and I just tweeted to Jonathan, and immediately he just was like, "Do it." And suddenly it became totally clear that this was actually something we could really do. So, And I don't know if that same thing would have happened without the ability just to say any darn fool thing that pops into your head to thousands of people on the interwebs.
Nope.
You know?
Nope. Jonathan, where does this turning your own music into a comic book rank when compared to the Joko cruise that you have?
You know, I don't know anymore. My life is getting so ridiculous. When I first started doing this full time, I didn't expect that I was going to reach more than 25 people. And so sometimes I say, like, "Oh, I gotta, you know, I can't have this meeting about my fan cruise because I have to have this meeting about my comic book." And it's just the stuff that comes out of my mouth is just absurd. But, you know, and when you look at it step by step, it all makes sense. But when I look at this big picture and think about, 7 years ago when I first started doing this, it's like, there's no way I would have had the temerity to predict such things.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, it's wonderful. It's great to have all these different things to be working on.
To
you
think
know?
You're following in the footsteps of Rosie O'Donnell and having a cruise.
Am I?
She had her cruise. She had her own cruise.
I did a comic book a few years ago.
Yeah. God, man, she could not have gotten any higher than her talk show. I think my mother used to be like addicted to that show.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Holy smoke!
I had a friend. I had a friend who went on the Rosie cruise.
Really?
Yeah, the Rosie family cruise. It was.
What was it like? Did they just play shuffleboard together?
They swam a lot. It was.
Sounds
the
terrible.
Boat sank.
It was awful. The boat sank. She made it out alive, barely. Yeah.
They just check their Twitter for all the awesome tweets from the people on the Joko cruise.
Rosie's here.
Yeah. Now, Greg, you've had some experience with kind of the digital first stuff with Vision Machine. Has that helped a bit going through this process?
Absolutely. I mean, everything from just, you know, producing a graphic novel of this size independently, and you know, down to establish a relationship with you guys, because you guys put out Vision Machine on Comixology, and for which I was very grateful. Vision Machine is a 80-page graphic novel that's actually free. You can go to visionmachine.net and get it. It was funded by the Ford Foundation in order to help people provide a way to help people think about the future and the way personal technology is changing so many things for us. If you are worried about or interested in Google Glass, check out Vision Machine, because mm-hmm. 3 years before the fact, it was us imagining a future with a Google Glass-like device. There's also a iPad app version of the thing, which has animation and a voice soundtrack and lots of cool stuff. But yeah, just that process was hugely educational, and it also made it, you know, made me realize, yeah, this is something that that I can do. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm trained as a comic book writer, and I came into comics, worked for Marvel, so I was very lucky to sort of step in at that level. But that meant that I never had gone through the process of, you know, publishing my own work ahead of time, you know, before. So the Vision Machine process gave me a lot of experience in that, and was a very similar scale project. So yeah, that was hugely helpful.
The thing I find super interesting about the Kickstarter, and it's like, you know, obviously one of the most successful ones so far. I think there's a few other ones that are maybe a little bit higher, but for like a print special or kind of a recollection, your Kickstarter has one of the highest number of backers, whereas some may have made more money, but only maybe 2,000 supported it. But you guys are almost doubled, kind of the next in line with almost 4,000 backers. Why do you think, where do you think the difference is between this project and another one, where you seem to be, in terms of people, the most popular?
Well, our fans are cheap, and we're not very good at business. No, I don't know. You know, it's funny. I think the average pledge for us is about, I think it's about $40 or something like that. And I know it's often higher for other projects. You know, it's a weird thing. It's like you're building a store, kind of, when you set up the Kickstarter tiers. You want to have price points at all these different places. You want the price points to feel like the right kind of bargains according to their level of support. And it's a whole, you know, it's a complicated thing. And I think that the answer is unknowable in many ways.
Yeah.
But that said, you know, we were just talking this morning about you know, some other things that we might want to add, and putting some other support levels in there to fill in some of the gaps. I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, we are just delighted to have made our nut and then some. No matter how many backers or how much money we're getting from each of them, it's amazing.
Yeah, we you know, I think the. In terms of comparison, we're probably more similar to a project like Gail Simone and Jim Calafiore's Leaving Megalopolis, which I think had about, you know, a little over 4,000 followers. They raised over $100,000. But I think we're kind of more comparable to that project than to some of the other projects, which are sort of big, giant reprint volumes mm-hmm. of webcomics and other kinds of things. So, it's because I think for those giant reprint volumes, they're probably, I don't know, I haven't actually studied those quite as closely, but maybe their basic premium is higher because it's a single giant book, you know, yeah. like several hundred pages. While Gail's project and our project are, you know, we're now almost a 100-page book, but we've priced it, you know, we tried to price it around the cost of, you know, that it would cost if you were to go and buy it off a shelf, you know what I'm saying? And so our most popular levels right now are like the $15 level for the digital version, the $25 level for the paperback, and then the $35 level for the signed paperback. And those are the ones that are just flying off. I mean, those are the most popular pledge levels.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, and we're, frankly, I love that because I would not be nearly as pleased if we were making the same, you know, if we had the same levels, but we had half as many people doing it, because we want this thing to be read by everybody. You know what I'm saying? The more people this can go out to, the better.
What do you find yourself reading in your free time, Greg?
You know what? I finally picked up picked it up and knocked over my clipboard. Alison Bechdel's Are You My Mother? I had read her previous stuff, and I had heard a lot about it. It's another memoir book from her, and I haven't finished it, but so far it's amazing. There's a few panels in here that actually just, you know, made me choke up just by looking at the picture.
Oh,
yeah, she's great, and I'm really happy to finally have gotten my hands on this.
What about you, Jonathan? Do you have time? Do you have time these days to sit back and relax and put your feet up and read anything or enjoy something?
I read in order to quell my anxiety as I'm trying to fall asleep at night. So yes, I have plenty of time. I've been enjoying John Scalzi's The Human Division, which is right now it's the latest in his Old Man's War series of books, but he's been releasing it in sort of serialized installments, which has been really fun. Nice drawn out thing. And then I just finished a book by Ophira Eisenberg called Screw Everybody, which is a memoir about her sleeping her way to monogamy. And she's a comedian that I is the host of this NPR quiz show that I do called Ask Me Another. And it's a really charming, funny, touching book. And I just
it sounds like it's a lot of touching.
There's a lot of touching. Absolutely. Like I like that sort of thing.
Everyone's into that, and I'll be downloading it as we speak.
Yeah, I'm downloading it right now.
Hey, do you want a little bit of breaking news?
Yes.
Do you want to plug it, Jonathan?
Yeah. So we don't know the amount yet, do we?
No, we don't yet know the exact amount. We will know that by tomorrow.
We have to run the numbers through the computer and see what the computer says.
Yes.
But at some outrageous level of support, we will I will actually go into a recording studio near here and do a bunch of all acoustic versions of all of the songs associated with this project, which is a thing that people have been asking for a long
for
time.
Years, 'cause
the original
yeah.
recordings are all sort of arranged band recordings, but
wow.
You know, frequently when I perform, it's just me and an acoustic guitar. So that'll be a really nice thing. I
exclusive,
think. Exclusive,
wow. exclusive. Now, are you going to make this like $4 million? Just so you're like, I don't really feel like recording acoustic versions. Let's just put it as high as possible.
Yeah. Are you living inside my head? No, you know, it's funny. The reason we haven't picked a number is because we. Honestly, these numbers don't make any sense to us at all. Like a week ago we were daring to dream of $50,000, and now you know for us to come up with a stretch goal, it just seems like a crazy number, and so we're afraid to say numbers out loud to each other.
Five. Oh my God!
Yeah, and then you're there.
We do have a lot of we have like I'm looking at my magic list here, and we have 4 crazy big stretch goals. Knock on wood. But and at every stage, you know, as we add these things on, the people who have already, you know, bought into the project will end up getting this stuff. You know what I mean? So it's all add-ons for the. I mean, almost all of these I think are add-ons for everybody. So that's we're incredibly grateful to all the people who have been supporting us, and we're really doing our best to just give them more and more.
Cool.
Jonathan and Greg, I appreciate it, and I wish you guys the best of luck to get towards that $10 million goal for the acoustic versions.
Thanks a lot, guys.
See you at 100 million.
Welcome to my secret lair on Skull Crusher Mountain. I hope that you've enjoyed your stay so far. I see you met my assistant Scarface. His appearance is quite disturbing, but I assure you he's harmless enough. He's a sweetheart.